Social network application cluster. That's the only way to beat Facebook. So we have Stefan and Sandy who are going to introduce us to their protocol that has been developed over the last 2 years by those two and some other people as well. So there is a group behind it. And I'm looking forward to their talk now.
Hello. Okay. Hi, everybody. Thanks for all that attention. And we are happy to present you what we've been working on the past 1.5 years. So this talk will be presented by me and Sandy. Let's start. Why a social network application cluster? Why do we believe this is a solution? So people are different. So their app requirements are. We believe that the solution that there's one application fitting every person, that's simply not possible. And there cannot be a simple application for everybody, but also people do not want to use 50 applications for all the different contexts. So it's a straightforward solution to interconnect all the different applications. And then everybody can just choose what they prefer. So here you have the presentation overview. We'll start just by the principles about if you just go from the start to straightforward towards a solution, what are the principles any social application cluster would need to have? And then we come to our specific solutions on how we, on our takes on this problem, how we want to realize our plans, and this will be presented by Sandy, and we end with a call for participation. So the first principle is, of course, decentralization. If you want to connect many different services, and different networks, of course, this needs to be decentralized. For this, you need some kind of global identities. So if I'm at my service, another friend uses another service, I need to be in contact with him. I somehow need to be able to get into contact with him. And there should be some kind of profile option. So not everybody has to have a profile. But there should be some options to be available to get out information. The whole thing should be end-to-end protected because a decentralized network, of course, cannot be a fully trusted network. So no malicious people can act as a server or anything and read out data that should not be reading. There needs to be some kind of presentation standardization because different services provide different kind of media and different presentations. But if I receive data from different networks, there needs to be my application needs to know how to present this data to me. In a social network, there should be interactions, which is important to the aliveness. So if I upload a picture, people want to comment, interact, like, share, all this kind of stuff, and add their personal information to my original information. And another core principle is data ownership. So not as it is right now that I upload something to Facebook, they own my data, and if I switch the service, I cannot take all my memories I accumulated the past years with me to another service. There needs to be some kind of standardized model on how my data is saved, stored. So if I want to change my service, I can take everything with me. And of course, this should be encrypted on the server, and I should just be able to take everything with me and put it to another service so this can then be, they can present my data. Additionally, the whole thing, like, it's not only better to have it open source and non-profit, I think it's a strict requirement because in the end, this will just be protocols on how the social network services work with each other. And I want to encourage you all to rethink social media because execution, of course, of code has no cost. Of course, there's a server cost. But it's not like, as Facebook tells you, that there needs to be no company behind it making money off it or out of your data. Once the code has been done, it can be executed as often as it wants. And it needs to be open source. So if you have the first networks going into this cluster, many more can follow and know how to enter their own ideas. So far for the core principles of any social network application cluster, I want to explain this on the on ActivityPub, which is some kind of social network application cluster. It has all of those principles I told you. It's decentralized, it has global identities, it has profiles, it's end-to-end protected, it has all those things. So now the question, why are we starting our own projects? What are we adding to the picture? First of all, we come with a different standardization model. I have mentioned ActivityPub here, but I do not want to go into the details of how they implement it because I have not been implementing it myself. There are a lot of good explanations online. They work with activity streams, which is a great way of doing what they want to do. But we're going to want to standardize even broader, a lot more kind of applications possible. So if you standardize the presentations of your social media via HTML, everything is possible. So because before at Facebook, what you're used to, you can upload a picture and up there some text. With HTML, you can do the text underneath. Wow. But this can be even crazier. You can have it interactive with JavaScript and PHP. And you can have your checkboxes, everything from the power of any website you know. You can have your posts and can be interactive. And this allows a lot of new applications on how you share your personal data with your friends. There are a lot of new applications possible with this way. We have one core principle that the publisher decides over the format of how it's shared and how it's presented. And then just every user who receives the data needs to have in his inbox some kind of, like not browser, but like just a presenter for HTML, a parser. And then when you get in your inbox any data, even if it's from a new application you never interacted with, you get presented the data in the right way already without the need of downloading anything. And this makes it way easier for new applications to spread because the publishers are the power users who put thought into how the data should be presented. And the users are taking away any extra effort of signing up to new applications. I want to explain this because this is like one core principle on example. A friend of ours works at the University of Bonn for the VDR, which is just a television broadcasting network, a public one. And they've been enforced to look into and the Facebook discussions they're having. Because as you all know, the political discussion environment in Facebook is super toxic. And that's because Facebook is simply not made by the structure to have organized discussions. So they went into got really nice ideas on how to present data, on how to extract ideas that have already been agreed on, so you do not have to start every discussion at zero when you want to discuss on how to regularize petrol in detail. You do not have to start a discussion again, is the climate change at all, which is, and many more ideas they're having. But the core principle, the whole project just got stopped because you need to have the discussion where the people are at Facebook, and there you have no way of changing anything. You cannot even do proper moderation. And they decided bringing an own app would not be, also not be, have no sense, because people will not download this app just to have a discussion about one article. And if some people do it, it will only be those with an extremist mind anyway. So for projects like this that do not have a place in the internet right now, this could be enabled by this technique as well, again, because the journalist who proposes something can already include the format on how it's going to be discussed later, or no discussion, or anything, or what will be linked on how to interact. And this opens up a lot of new applications. I want to bring some examples just to spark your creativity. You can have friends Mensa, people who like to cook, and people who have friends who do not like to cook, they can come together. You can have the discussion place, which I just explained. You can have any kind of meet up, meet and greet, whatever you are, your hobbies. Group organizers, because right now most football clubs or anything are just organized by WhatsApp, which is really a bad application for this kind of purpose, but it's the one everybody uses, so it's the easiest. And here, if you have one setting up, the group organizing, he can have a framework, put together what is needed for this particular group, and just spread it, and everybody can immediately use it. You can have social applications. You can have child secure applications where you can say, okay, this application should only get data from child-approved servers. And you even could intertwine some HTML learning exercises in between every 1 hour or whatever you can imagine. You can have social media addiction measures, because most people think they use the phone too much. And it's enforced by the psychological tricks Facebook and other apps are using these days. And you can just have countermeasures, because if our applications are open source, we do not profit by you executing them. We do profit by you supporting our ideas. And if we provide applications that people like, they will support our mission. But we do not support by our code being executed. So if you are happy with it, only executing it every second day, that's fine with everybody else, because it's your own decision. You can have some read-through apps, only text only. You can go for meme trading or your very own ideas, which would have been difficult to implement before, because they only work if everybody would download this app at the same day. But with this, it would be way easier to force it and enforce it. And there's like a huge market to split if we actually think this is something that might work and might change the system. So it might be interesting for some of you. So let's rethink social media. And there's you can rethink the inbox management. This is just on the right, just some example. You can decide, every user can decide freely. If you want to have multiple identities, so if you meet someone at a bar, you do not want to give them your core identity, you have just some separate identity you can give out and drop at any time. You can split your inboxes between, for example, what I recommend, you split your inbox from what your friends want to tell you and what you otherwise consume from the internet. Because how it is right now, if I post a picture that I've been married, I do not even know if all my friends see it, even though I want to send it to them. And I believe that your friends shouldn't compete with all the other stuff that's out there. But everybody can choose for himself. And you also can just split it across any number of applications you like. There's no fixed limit on anything. And also for the content selection method, there are a ton of them out there. And I believe everybody should be able to choose for himself. You should not be scared about like the Facebook algorithm that chooses your data. You can just start learning about own ways. So you can have fixed abonnements, where you can, if you follow a person, you see everything from them in your inbox, and you decide yourself if you want to see it. You can have the by priority system. You give channels priority. For example, I give my mom priority 5. I want to see everything she posts. But if I have another channel, I want to see only what he claims is really important to him. That might be a system. You can have neural network, all this stuff, and you can combine, put them one after another. They have their priority, and then it's after selected by anything you can imagine. There can be global services in the system. First of all profiles are private. So if you want to have, and it's decentralized, but if you want to have global services, you would need for all the broadcasted stuff, some metadata collectors who provide them in the way you'd like to. So this picture is from the Spiegel Mining talk from 3 years. I don't know who know it. But you could do something similar. Like you just sort all the data that came in this day and you sort connectivities on which text have been used together. And so maybe if you like one article, you might like other stuff related to it. And it's easy to find new stuff you maybe didn't know before you might be interested in. To track trending topics. This would be like some global observer would be needed to implement things like this. And the second thing, next to our more generalized standardization that we add, is nanopayments, because I believe this is a key thing to emancipate such a network on a global scale. It would be this service is something that would allow users to pay very small amount of money for the servers, the cost that they inflict for storing their data, but also for content creators they want to support. So just how this could be in use. For example, on the left you have on YouTube how it is right now, and for someone who's like creating 34,000 hours of watch time, he only gets like $100. And if you think of rethink this system, and you think, okay, if you watch something for 1 hour and you only pay this 1 cent, then this person would have already gotten much more, and you can subtract a lot by the infrastructure needed, and you can even donate something to the developers who developed that specific streaming app. And for users, that's also not expensive. Like if you're a power user and you consume a lot, that would maybe in this scope add up to 20 cents a day. And if you do this every day, it would add up to €6 a month. But if that's what you're doing every day, all your day, doesn't sound like too much. Also with the upside, that this is not an up and a more service. You just pay what you use. Everything is transparent and you support the content you like directly. And you have no annoying advertisements. Everything is independent. Nobody is bound to any rules or anything. So how would this look like? It's a decentralized structure, but no, it's a network of trusted banks. So it's not fully decentralized in the means that I can just upload code and I run a bank. There needs to be some kind of trusted network. I've been thinking through, like, just combinatorically, a lot of different possibilities on how this could be possible. And the one I'm going to present you is the one I found the best working, the easiest, but also the most secure. So Alice starts having an account at Bank A. It's prepaid. So you put up €5 then, and then this bank can grant you any amount of tokens till the account needs to be refilled again. You can transfer them to Bob. Bob has his own bank handling all his tokens, because if Bob comes to Bank A and says, okay, give me my 0.5 cents, then again you have a problem, because those you cannot transfer this lower money for now. But if Bank B collects all the tokens, and this might up to the €300 we saw before, that's some payment that can be made easily and makes sense. This, of course, is written in a more detailed protocol. Whoever is interested in this, the slides will be up there. I will not go through this too, not right now. And I want to go through motivations on the system really briefly. And right now, it might seem like I'm selling you this idea, and I am, but I'm also telling you why I'm so motivated about this and why I want to start working full-time on this project, because it has such so great implications. So for users, it's way better. So they can store everything for the long run, and if I upload something now, I can be sure even if I in 10 years use some different applications, my memories will not be lost. Users can choose freely everything, as I presented to you. New innovative applications will benefit the users, and there's a new diversity of applications. So right now you have to decide, do I go to Instagram and only consume pictures, but maybe some of my friends are DJs and they do audio things, but they have different applications. If everybody can use what they want, I get more diverse input. The application serves me and not my data it. I can have addiction countermeasures, the sensitive data can be protected because I can decide myself where it's uploaded and how it's secured. And for this reason, I can use applications that with sensitive data that I wouldn't have trusted before. For example, tracking all my statistics and stuff, which can be fun for me to see how much I've spent this year, but I do not want Google to know. For content creators and content collectors, there could be a complete new job of just being a channel that collects data and people want to just see you for collectors. You're independent of any platform. Of course, if you want to, you can follow an agency and you don't have to be alone, but you can decide that for yourself. You have a direct relationship to your users. There are new ways of monetizations. You have simply more revenue. No pressure to serve any algorithm, because right now the algorithm forces you to upload daily, which is just bad for a lot of people who want to provide meaningful content. You do not have to provide clickbait, because you're selected by the people who believe what you do is meaningful and not the clicks count. And in general, a more friendly environment. For data security, decentralized is always better. We break the monopoly of Facebook. We have a chance of it. We protect the user's privacy just on how our protocols are designed. We have a transparent structure of guidelines, algorithms, and development, non-profit. And so we do not abuse anything. And users are in ownership of their own data. And then for the society, of everything being open source, this system can be educated, which is something that cannot happen right now. Even here, where we look into every detail of everything in the internet, no one of us, even we are the experts, and no one of us knows how the fuck Facebook is working. And this is like, what's going on here? So this really should be different, and we could have educatable systems. People can learn in schools, university, on how social media works again, just the basic internet protocols, and can make up their mind on about their own ideas, and will be way easier to bring up their own innovations. The new innovations of applications can be more social, more sustainable, and can really bring us as a society forward. We can reshape our media consumption. We really can rethink on how we interact with each other, with the media, how we do consume it. And we do a big step towards restoring the independence of the internet. First, we start by social media, but if we gather again common ground on how we all connect with each other, we could do some trading or like online like attack Amazon next and everything. That's just as some visions. I want you to not be intimidated if you're not too deep into the tech. The tech is handleable, and because I'm just studying, I measured in master's theses. And this is really rough estimation because some people work 2 years on a master's thesis. But if you just divide the projects and look at the to-do list, if you just write everything down that we planned, it's between 7 and 10 master's theses. And even with all the overhead of connecting different projects and all the communication that needs to be done, if it's 20 master's theses, if that's what needs to be done, then that's what needs to be done. And if you're not intimidated but really interested in the tech, we'll have blog posts on how everything should work in more detail. All right, now Sandy will tell you on how we want to realize this plan.
Exactly. Hey, also from me. So as Stefan already said, I want to tell you about how we take this theoretical concept that Stefan just explained and actually realize it and make it something that people can use. So first of all, where we are right now. So basically here at this Congress, that's our premiere. We had already had a talk yesterday where we had interesting discussions about the project. That's why we also updated our presentation a little bit and already got very valuable feedback. But it's still our premiere, so yeah, it's pretty fancy for nothing is really done yet. But it also means that everything is still possible with this project. Before I start telling you about our concrete plan, I just quickly want to introduce our team. So you already met Stefan and me. Basically, Stefan came up with this idea around 2 years ago or so, and it like kept growing in his head. So he is kind of responsible for the whole project coordination. Me myself, I'm not coming like from the tech side of this all. I studied sociology and political science, so something completely different. But I'm passionate for the project, and I really want to be part of it. And so my department will be the fundraising and communication of it all. And then also on the bottom left, we have Martin. That's a very good friend of Stefan. They've been coding for a long time. And yeah, he will also be part of the core team. And then we also have two more friends. In the middle, Lenny, and this guy in the cave is Roche. We also really would like to incorporate them in our team, but this all depends if the crowdfunding will be successful, because we don't know yet if this will be possible from a financial point of view. But more about this now. So what we did was coming up with a project schedule and breaking it down to different steps that we think are important and necessary to accomplish or to let it be a successful project. So I want to tell you a little bit more about these different steps. Basically, or generally, we divided them in three phases. The first phase is just the like getting started phase and put the whole idea that we have in our head into an actual like thing that we can work on. So not only our team needs to grow, but also the knowledge and expertise that we have about different topics. I will tell you more about this in a second. Then also a big point is the acquisition of funds or the crowdfunding, so that we can actually work full-time on this project. And we also need to set up a legal framework for this whole thing. The second phase will be the realization and implementation phase, where the main thing will be to write and test the code for the network and develop applications and also add applications that maybe already exist and want to be part of this network so that people can also use it within Snack. And then the last phase, or the aim, so to say, is the operating phase, where everything is kind of finished and people can actually use the network. So I think what needs to be emphasized here is that, of course, it's not like linear, so it's not completely distinguishable, the three phases. It's all a little bit blurry, so the fundraising won't stop at some point when we start the realization, but I think it gives you a good overview of what needs to be done. Okay, so a little bit more in detail now. What we mean with training is that, of course, we do have a lot of stuff we already know. Like, Stefan knows a lot about coding, Martin knows a lot about coding, but there's still something we need to look into, especially the legal requirements and also the software development process. The legal requirements is especially important for founding a non-profit organization. That's what we want to do with it. It's pretty simple why we want to do this, because we somehow need to pay the employees or the people working on it, so there just needs to be a legal framework, and also to just be sure that this is, if there are any legal issues or something, it's about the company and not about us personally. Then community building, that's a very big and relevant point. So this only works if there are people who are willing to work on it and be part of it. So we thought about strategies or plans how to reach out to potential partners or like-minded people. This, of course, happens within the community itself. So if you hear this talk now and you like what you hear, and just share it with your friends and tell them about it, so that the information about it spreads. Then, of course, as Stefan also already mentioned, we're not the first who have this idea. So there are a lot of similar and existing projects. So, it's not like we want to start something completely new here, but we can reach out to these projects that already exist and talk to them and cooperate. Then also a big point here are the influencers and content creators, and also the news outlets and journalists, because they are the ones who would benefit from a system change like that and from a new network like that, because they would be the one who could put their stuff out there and get paid directly by the ones consuming it. This also kind of applies to the specialist media. So we were thinking about reaching out to different YouTubers or podcasts who could inform their audience and community about it to just spread the word. Then, of course, nothing of this works if there's not some financial basis. So we came up with a crowdfunding strategy. We already have a Patreon account where we want to raise money to just secure a monthly income for the people working on it. So it's basically about if you reach, the more people we reach who give a small amount, the more money there is to work with. We calculated it already. So for the core team, the three of us, I think the 2,000 euros would be a good start to just live and like to work full time on it. In the long version, our vision is to get 50,000 euros a month if there are people like 15 team members who work on it. Then the development phase, which is, I guess, one of the most important phases because that's where actually the whole thing happens. So as I mentioned already, the development, our plan is that it's happened full time so that we can like pause our studies and just concentrate really on the thing that we want to do and have in our mind. And we also, what I want to emphasize here is that we're not planning on doing this alone and then putting it out there, but it's really more a community thing that we count on the contributions of people who are interested in it and think they could add something of value to this project. And then, I mentioned this already before, I think, but that we want to minimize the redundancy. So it's not like we want to start from scratch and do everything ourselves because we know that there's already a lot of open source code and stuff out there lot of great work has been done. So we want to incorporate this and add to this. And then, of course, we want to accumulate as many users as we can so the network can actually float and work and be filled with stuff and content. The new innovative apps that will be possible in this network that will hopefully attract users. There are a lot of sub-networks out there already and small apps who only a few people are on it, but if they are connected and the crowds will be connected of these sub-networks, this could be a huge thing and, they can help each other grow. Then quickly I want to dive into what we have planned next. We were already working on concising an explanation video, just like a short one where everyone who's interested in it and maybe also not so familiar with all the tech stuff can watch the video and understand what we do. Then we also talked about so-called Twitter attacks on relevant personalities. We brought the example of Marc-Uwe Kling here. I think most of you maybe know him. He's a famous German author and he finished basically almost every one of his Facebook posts with a statement that he thinks that Facebook needs to be destroyed. So we think that it's helpful to just reach out to these famous people who we think could support our cause and maybe tell them about it so that they can share it with their community. Then next to the crowdfunding, we are also looking into different grants and funds that could be supportive for us so that the financial basis will be there as soon and as stable as possible. Because the sooner we reach the actual development phase, the better. So that was it, how we want to realize our plans. And now Stefan will talk some.
I'll end up with a call for participation. Because as Lenny said, the sooner we get moving onwards, the better. Because we are not marketing people, we are developers, and we just want to get started. But that first has to overcome some issues. So it's a long way. We have already done quite some things, but we do not know which path in the end will take us to the solution we will take. And we have ideas for every step. As Lenny just presented you, we think we have quite a plan. But it's a long way, and we need your help. So your feedback brings us forward. We had many really meaningful discussions on this platform and on this Congress and met great people and shared people. But if you can give us feedback, if you share our idea, if you can contribute with your ideas or your code, if you want to be part of the team, we'll be setting up a Discord server for all the people who want to who work with us. Your donations, of course, bring us forward. You can take some stickers. That's how you can support us. And you can follow us. So even if you say, okay, if you're part of the I believe in running code people, which is totally viable, it makes sense. So you can just follow us and see where we are in half, where we are at in half a year and say, okay, you want to support us then. Current state is really at the beginning. There's like not people, not a lot of people who know about this yet. So you're one of the first ones. And I want to end up with thanking you all for your attention. And if you have time to get all of your feedback, it's important to get all of it. We have at our page catnet.rocks, which is also on the stickers. Submit your feedback, submit your ideas, everything. Stay in contact with us. Catnet is the name of our dev team and maybe the first open source pilot project we want to launch, so people have idea on how to contribute their own ideas on here, so you don't get confused about the names. This is who we are, and thanks for being here.
Stefan, Sandy, thanks for that talk. It was very, very exciting, I need to say. It's very, very interesting. And the stage is open for discussion. Do we have anything? Yeah, we have already the first one here.
Thanks a lot for the talk. There was many interesting ideas. One of the problems you mentioned is the critical mass problem. Do you have any ideas or plans on how to integrate, for example, users of different open source instant messaging apps with those of using closed source instant messaging apps like InSignal, Telegram, WhatsApp, and so on?
Yeah. This will be a decision of those different networks. So we will want to work as some kind of mediator, approach all the different projects there are. For example, if you go for the biggest one, Facebook will not want to join us because they're the closed network, and we will need to build our network of networks growing until the others not need it anymore. So what's about ActivityPub, Diaspora, all the great things out there, Signal, Telegram? We need to just go in different directions with the tech-wise coding, see what is compatible, and then see which kind of projects support our idea. And for example, ActivityPub is a huge project, many contributors, and some people think it might change the world. Some people want to keep it small for their better community. And there are different opinions. There will be a lot of communication needed for that. But of course, we want to incorporate as many projects as possible. Yeah.
Okay, wait.
So suppose if somebody reverse engineered some of these things and would do it against the will of the, let's say, some big corporation, would you consider still linking that? Because some people might want to still talk to these people, even though they are in a network that doesn't want to cooperate with you.
I mean, if it's open source, it's not really stolen. There will be different groups working on different projects, and we just want to make sure the different projects can connect with each other. We will not be responsible for every project that will be on our network. Does that answer your question? Yeah. But okay. I personally do not want to go and rip out other people's things they're still working on and divide community or anything like that. Yeah.
All right. We still have ample of time for questions and answers from Chef and Sandy. Anybody in here? Do we have internet questions? Signal Angel, is there anybody interested outside? At the moment, not. So, anybody from the audience? Maybe you want to... yes, we got one here.
It might be I missed the first part, but maybe you answered it already, but is there an idea how it can be prevented that it will be bought up by a big company if it's successful after some years?
That's just the solution is the decentralization and the open source. Even if someone would come and give me 100 million, everything I presented to you, you all know it now. That's how I see it. And of course, there can be, even it's, let's say Facebook joined in on this, they still would have the best starting point. They have the most money and the most developers. So they could, for this network, contribute huge applications. And maybe most people would want to use them because they're best working ones. But still, with the system, everybody who wants to can choose something else. And this is already the big improvement, which would not guarantee that not people with capitalistic interests will also run the applications on the network. Does that answer your question?
All right, we have more questions. I'm going to go back to the back of the stage.
Hi, thanks a lot. Do you have technologies you've agreed upon by now? Or is it still in discussion?
Yeah, there are many ideas. For example, for the transmission, there it can be... we will just have to check what works best, what works with the most already existing projects, but also what seems like to be working a long-term one. This will be just trial and error and many hours of coding and testing and community decisions. So also for encryption methods and all this detail stuff, there are ideas, there are lists, but nothing I want to say this is fixed now and that's how it should be. Yeah. Okay.
There is another question from the audience.
Yes, hi. Say after after some time and this is really successful and takes off and Facebook is looking at it interestingly and they make grand gestures and then they say that they would like to open up Facebook to this open network of networks, you called it, but then they say they want... access to the data or some change made to benefit them or even just something symbolic like keep the symbol of the Facebook like and use that for the network of networks. How would you react if Facebook or some other big player would leverage their power to make you compromise?
First of all, I want to... say something else because you reminded me of something I wanted to say, but I forgot. With the HTML standardization, it will also be the end of the like button. Because, of course, everybody can say, this is my dog, and it has 60,000 likes. Everybody can just... so this will be some end. But it's just something that reminded me. Interesting question. So you're saying if Facebook says, have 100 million, we will make your project big, but under this and the circumstances. No, I think this is, for the long run, the best system which will benefit all, because then again, the principles I started with, I think this is, because we will tell every user, hey, use this new system, and I think it only makes sense if we can ensure this is the system that's designed for the long-term run. These are basic protocols. And if we again have... It might be an improvement to open up Facebook, but if it's not all the way, it just also won't work, I believe, because we then have to tell the users, okay, go for this system, and 2 years later, again, we want a system change, and whatever I upload, my memories, I want to be able to access them also in 50 years. Does that answer your question?
I think
he has another question.
Here's another question. That's good. Okay, let's go.
A follow-up to your to what you said, that there will be no more like button, because with a simple URL change, you could, like, if I understood you correctly there, you could make it look like you had any number of likes or faves or whatever it will be called. How then will the likability or the success of any given post or picture or piece of music or piece of audio, how will that be measured? How can I as a user look at a headline and not only think, does this headline, is this interesting to me, but also how many others found this interesting, to weed out people who are really good at writing headlines but then don't follow up with good content?
I think here you have to distinct between private and public network. So in my private network, I can upload whatever and say this has 10,000 likes and my friends can say, haha, you don't. But if I have it public, this is what I came up with, the global services. So your presentation will be inside some HTML presenter, and just outside in your actual application, there can be some information gathered by some global service. So if you have some content creator, he can sign up his content to this global service. And if many people are using the service, this will be then just free market. But if everybody uses this application, which just counts on how many people have seen this as valuable content, so have some kind of to see what's trending. This is like a valuable system, and to have a society that exchanges with each other. And so there would be the global systems would be a solution to that. Does it answer your question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks. Any more questions here? The internet? Nope.
Is mute. In the back?
There is. Ooh, in the very, very back. Sure.
Thanks for the talk. How do you want to make this available for a broader audience? Because you mentioned that you want to use an HTML standard, but I guess for the broader audience it's very complicated to create fancy stuff and compete with other content creators.
Yeah. We start with power users. So if I have my app idea, I can see how this is, I have open source, I can create my own thing. But then in the end, there will be some need of a kind of framework where people can just drag and drop. So I mentioned the group organizer. If I have my local football club and I say, okay, I want to have a messenger, but I also want to have events or whatever, there needs to be some easy-to-use framework for people to edit their content. Yeah. Or if you have journalists and all this kind of stuff, there will be just some library of already existing solutions. And maybe from there you can go and edit it yourself, depending on whatever your expertise is. But this is a lot to do. Yeah.
Okay. More questions? There is. Is there a question?
Yeah, him.
Yes. Okay.
Is there a plan to make all of this RSS accessible?
As I said, with the detailed protocols, this will be decisions to just trial and error. So if you're into RSS, you can think, can you pass it to HTML? So whatever you send can be presented by others to HTML. And if others send you HTML, can you present that in your application? This is what I would tell to anybody with any project. Can you pass your thing? I mean, ActivityPub, if you have your Mastodon, you see everything in HTML. The question is, can you pass it back to your network so everything works together? There will be for each project that exists, each individual protocol, like as a different question to ask, yeah, which I do not have answered yet. Yeah.
Okay. We have a little bit more time. Any questions? No. Okay. Anyway, so I wish you all the best for the future, for your
Thanks.
Project. That's going to be a good liftoff. I hope everybody else in the audience joins in. There is a small present here from the OIO stage for presenters and people giving talks here. There we go, something to drink and something sweet so that you don't starve when doing all the hard work in the
all
future.
Right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thanks. Thank you.
And some stickers.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for hosting us
yeah.
and giving us this opportunity. Yeah.